Region Queens Regular Municipality Regular Council, Tuesday, December 13th. I would like to call the meeting to order. Before I ask for changes or approval of the agenda, please note that there is 9.3 contract negotiations at 3:30. The time was omitted off of there. Are there any changes to the Councilor Brown?
I'd like to make a motion that we move the discussion on the airport, the sale of the airport, up to item 7.1 in deference to all the people who have come in from out of town.
All right, so 7.9 will move up to the top, so it becomes actually 7.1. Everything else gets renumbered accordingly, or we can leave it at that.
Or call it 7.1A.
We will deal with that one matter, and then we will do the Hillsview Acres update.
Correct.
I'll move.
And that's seconded by Councilor Charlton. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. Anchors Up Ventures Limited.
I'd also too like to add you.
Yeah. Oh, I skipped. Already approved. We already voted on the.
We have voted on the change. We didn't vote on the agenda.
What is it you want to add?
I would like to add 8.6, a discussion on the local paper.
Before I ask, is there a seconder for that? Seconded by Councilor Gidney. I would just simply like to make a comment as chair that I did speak to Councilor Fancy, who requested this item, and I did tell him it was rather premature considering we've just struck a committee dealing on communication, and this is a communication matter. However, all those in favor of adding 8.6 to the agenda? Contrary? Passed. Anchors Up Venture Limited.
Hello. Morning, Mayor and Council. Thank you for giving us time for our presentation today.
Thank you for your patience.
I'm sure it made it feel more like afternoon at this point. We're going to start off our presentation that we're very excited about today with a little video, and then we'll get right into the presentation. Maybe if we could turn the lights down, would be ideal.
And if you would introduce yourself after.
We will, yes.
Thanks.
So I'm not sure, I'm hoping that this will work with the sound here.
At what point in your life do you decide to make a change? To make a life plan based solely on you and you alone. A new starting point to everything. This is the point in your life when you choose to surround yourself with the things that really matter and take a bit of time for yourself first. Welcome to The Point, a vibrant and modern new community located on Nova Scotia's renowned South Shore. Rumclo Development and VDP Design International present a new way of life in an affordable and green neighborhood. Live in harmony with nature and feel connected to the sea. Find adventure and become a part of a new community. Find you. Discover The Point.
Thank you.
Chad Clothier, born and raised in New Minas. I moved out west and recently moved back to Nova Scotia, well, in 2019. My wife and I had looked around Nova Scotia and decided it was time to get back, and we decided on Queens County. We bought a place in Hunts Point, and we love the beaches of Queens County, and the outdoor activities is what drew us here. I currently run and operate Anchors Up Ventures, a construction company here in town, and Nick and I, my partner, newly formed our Rumcolo development. Nick is my partner, who he's also from Nova Scotia. He currently resides in Edmonton, Alberta. He runs with his wife Indigenous Youth Group Homes and has a passion for real estate. Nick asked me about some of the real estate opportunities in Nova Scotia, as he'd like to transition back to Nova Scotia as well. And I brought him this project where I thought would be amazing opportunity for us and Queens County. And then we ended up forming Rumcolo Developments. In doing so, we met Graham and showed him our plan, and he was very interested and ended up joining our partnership.
So my name is Graham Vanderpass. I'm a managing director at BDP Design International. We specialize in design, architecture, interiors, and mainly doing marketing assets for real estate, basically the unbuilt world of real estate. We've been doing this for about 15 years. We have a studio in Amsterdam. And projects all over the world. And in 2018, when we were living in Spain, my wife and I came to Nova Scotia for the first time on a holiday, and we fell in love with it. We said, you know what, one day we're gonna live here. So in 2020, we finally moved to Nova Scotia, and in 2021, bought a house in Hunts Point, and we love it. And Chad is coincidentally my neighbor, and so our respective skill sets worked well together, and therefore, Rumcolo and the point has now been come to fruition. Oh, where is the point?
So the point is located at 133 Shore Road. It's directly behind the residence of 133. As you can see on the right side, there's an easement that is the road that we now have in that leads down to the whole property. We love this location just for the sheer fact is it's so close to town, hospitals, police station, amenities. And then it branches out as well, close to the reason why my wife and I love it here so much is the beaches between and restaurants of White Point, the quarter deck with Somerville Beach, Beach Meadows. I'm sure we don't have to tell you about all the beaches.
Why we chose Queens County for this project is plain and simple. We just love living here. Living in Queens County is a lifestyle. I think we can all agree. It has something for everybody.
Now, the point, here's our 3D rendition of the point. As we said before, it's a 23-acre parcel of land waterfront. If you notice at the bottom, we've left a 66-foot easement for green space, as we want everybody on the street to be able to enjoy the entire access to the waterfront. Now, on the right side, beside the Wharf Rock Road, we've also put in a 20-foot green belt where nothing can be cut. It has to be kept exactly the way it is, just to give a little buffer between the residents of Wharf Rock Road.
Yeah, I think the idea here is that it's a high density community within a community, but it is strategically laid out so that the units on the downslope from the top of the property to the water will all have views of the ocean. But it's also, you know, we're gonna keep as much of the original landscape as possible. So it's kind of high density, but it doesn't feel high density. We've also included we want it to be a very community feeling, so we've got
the commercial space in the middle. So our idea is that convenience store type place that would sell coffees and teas and stuff. We hope to have a deck on the back that would overlook the roads leading down to the ocean. And that way we have a place for people to come and gather and meet in the mornings or afternoons, whenever they'd like.
So the Point is a one-of-a-kind cutting-edge residential neighborhood in Queens County. The Point blends modern design and architecture with green living without sacrificing affordability. Homes are strategically positioned to balance maximum density with ample privacy while offering vista views to the ocean.
And we try to make them so our whole idea is to have simple, low maintenance buildings. These ones at the top, the semi-detached, are all one level, easy living, wide spaces. You notice we've left the landscape natural in the front, and we have grass in behind them. Here's the over-unders, as we've been referring to them. From the middle of the property down, it has a natural slope. We're estimating that the elevations of each one will be about 16 feet from the next one down to the next one. We've also strategically placed them in between each one. So each of these over-unders on the bottom half will have ocean views. Phase one, 40 semi-detached. Phase two, 72 multi-unit over-unders. And phase three will be the 12 single-family homes.
That is subjective, the phase three, that you could have more. We'll explain a little bit more about how that works coming up.
Investment from us, $9 million for phase one, $15 million phase two, $5 million phase three. And this is just our building costs. We still have a lot of infrastructure. We'll be well over $30 million into this. So far, we're already about $500,000 in.
So the semi-detached is 1,300 44 square foot home, two bedrooms and two bathrooms. We're referring to it as the Denmark. It's inspired by Scandinavian architecture. It's got a nice large deck, single car garage for each side. And the idea here is that it's very simple architecture, so that builds are fast and efficient, and the materials that we're using are very durable and low maintenance.
We want this to be a turnkey option where you can, as soon as you walk in, you're ready to go. If you plan on leaving for 2 weeks, you can lock the door and walk away. Lots of natural light inside, and all one level living on the Denmark.
This one is the lookout, designed with very West Coast aesthetic in mind, so that you have maximum views. They're going to be positioned on the downslope of the property on the grade. So it can be configured in two ways. You could have an over and under, which would be 2,000 square foot, two bedroom, two bathroom units, or you can have it configured as a single family home. It could be 2,000 square feet, three, four bedrooms. Again, although the two designs are different, we've made sure to be able to utilize the same materiality throughout, so that we can keep it very efficient to build and order in bulk, and thereby keeping the pricing. So the windows and such, they're all the same.
And all simple build, square boxes, basically. Very low maintenance, easy to take care of.
So who lives at the Point? We think that it's perfect for all age groups and professions and walks of life. Providing homes for young professionals and entrepreneurs is an important factor to help promote the growth of our community. Medical staffing shortage at Queens County General Hospital is partly due to the lack of housing for new staff members.
Yeah, we'd like to make sure we have ample places for people of all professions to have opportunities to have new houses and places to move here to Queens County. I've heard of many stories of professionals that end up having to buy in Bridgewater because they want something newer. Our retirees is a big one too. We keep hearing stories of people who retire, they have a huge house and they just are at the point in their life they don't want to fix up these houses anymore or take care of them. They'd like to move into a place here in town, but there really is nothing. So some people, I know one gentleman I was talking with, he was 75 years old and he's scared that he knows he can't take care of his house, he wants to get rid of it, but there's no place to move to, so he's forced to look into places like Bridgewater and Halifax. So living 75 years in one community and then having to leave because you have no options.
For first-time homebuyers and young families, goes without saying, really, first-time homebuyers face a challenge. Real estate costs are increasing province-wide, and the supply does not meet the demand. Therefore, young families and first-time homebuyers are left with little to no options.
By having more supply will also bring down the price of other housing in the area.
So, population is obviously increasing exponentially in the province. And rural communities in Nova Scotia are growing faster than the rest of Canada. So Nova Scotia needs 50,000 units by 2030 to offset the demand, and thereby bringing down and letting off the price.
Yeah, there's no secret in Nova Scotia that we're in desperate need of housing, and we're in a great position because we're ready to get housing now. We can start building in April. It's possible for us. We have our road halfway down our development already, and we're ready to go.
Again, you know, places like Bridgewater there are a lot of developments going on that are kind of tackling this need. I feel like we can be doing the same thing here, you know, by keeping our residents here and as well to attract new residents to come live here. How will it benefit the county? Well,
yeah, we're going to put in 408 new local residents, possibly. I mean, economic development and economic spending is huge when you bring in that type of amount of people. Housing for, you know, our skilled staff, as well as medical, RCMP, we're just offering up options. And then, obviously, increased tax revenue for all these houses. How will the point benefit Queens County? So obviously, of the new taxes, with the new people, there'll be new businesses. With new people, there's more local support for our volunteers and committees. The average household spends $34,000 per annual, and we see then with our development, we could bring in $2.5 million per year in extra spending just to Queens County. So phase one is up $130,000 for tax revenue. Phase two moves up to 400. By the time we're done our phase three, we will move into our 565,000 per annual. And those are based on very conservative numbers at this time of what property is worth right now as we build these will increase in value. So we see this number being larger. And how do we do? We know this is an aggressive strategy we have brought before you. Our design, that's our key, is our design is simple. It's something we can order in bulk to try to keep the price down as well. And
potentially even have built off-site as prefab if necessary.
The beauty of the over-unders is we can have those prefab off-site and bring them in, which makes it much faster to put up. We have lots of I have lots of knowledge in the local trades, so I'm part of the network, and I've been talking to many of them and are very excited about getting on board and building with us. We can provide at least up to 5 years of work for countless amounts of local trades.
And then we're going to do an aggressive marketing strategy to encompass web, social, print, and we'd like to start pre-sales, so, you know, the sooner we can kick off, the better, and we can start pre-sales right away. Our designs are ready to go.
And like we said before, we're ready to roll. We have our road halfway in place. Our power is being installed early 2023. You see our timelines here of the phase one, two, and three.
It's ambitious, but
it's 5 years. But once we start, it'll be like a snowball rolling downhill. It's just going to keep picking up steam and building more and more at the same time. Once we get the trades on site, they won't leave.
But what we need is water, plain and simple. So we had a study done, and according to Strum Consulting, there's only enough water on our property for about 9 plus minus wells. So if we want to do the density that we'd really like to do here,
19,
right?
So yeah.
19 wells, right? So that, yeah. So that means we need to.
We have a septic. It's not been approved, but it has been engineered, and our septic companies assures us there's no problem to have it approved. So the septic side of things we do have taken care of. It's the water we need.
What does that look like? We need about 800 meters, actually, from where the current water service ends, which is the RCMP station, I believe, right?
Hospital to the RCMP. Right. From our understanding, it's a pipe off of the end of the line to the RCMP station.
What is that?
We have Strum Consulting, which is no relation to Nick Strum, the partner in this company. They just coincidentally have the same last name. They've done a preliminary study for us. If you can pay attention to the numbers on here too, we've done like a contingency fee of 20% if you look on the end, and there's also an engineering fee of 10%. So we've allowed room. This is a big number. We think this is a high number. We think it can get done less than this, but it's best to plan high than low.
In terms of recoup of municipal investment based on the tax on the 124 units, you're looking at 3 years post build conclusion.
We realize that water is probably something that the municipality is probably not making actually money off the water, as into the money is more going into maintaining and getting going, but the water allows us to build these places, which the property tax will be the major contributor towards the tax. So this is the full estimate of water and sewer. The number here is a little bit misleading, because if you look on the actual breakdown, you'll see private and public. The public parts are the municipality. The private would be on our land, so those wouldn't be a cost to the municipality. And also in that, we still have the 20% contingency fee and the 10% engineering fee added on to this as well. So for the whole municipality, the whole thing of the water and the sewer, you're looking at possibly up to 8 years. And again, we think this is longer than what it actually would take. It's probably estimated more around a 6 year return on investment for water and sewer.
So, in conclusion, Nova Scotia, Queen's County needs housing inventory to offset the demand and to level off ever-increasing real estate prices. Queen's County needs to grow. We want to help the growth of the community by providing much-needed housing options for new and local residents and grow the local economy. Our ambitious plan will be the first step to creating growth by offering a high-density residential community within Queen's County for up to 480 residents. But to do this, we need water. We're asking Queen's County to invest back into the community by extending the water infrastructure to reach our dynamic new development. This will benefit our project, but also stands to benefit the region and the community as a whole.
And we are ready to go right now. We're ready to build in the spring. As soon as the snow clears, we can start our first build and continue on from there. So the timing of everything is of the essence. We know people right now that are retiring. There's a need now, not in a year from now. So we'd like to get this project moving as fast as possible.
Yeah, and it's only the beginning for us as a new development company. We want to continue to build similar communities within Queens County. That's our goal. This is our stepping stone to get there. There's a lot of talk about affordable housing and stuff, and I think that that's definitely something that we're eyeing. However, you know, for a couple of new guys starting out at this, it's probably not.
And we're definitely interested in the affordable housing. Obviously, it's a big need for us right now. For our development that we're looking at right now, it's very tough to build affordable housing without any government grants.
Right.
You know, the price of building materials, land, everything is sky high. If you build and try to sell at an affordable rate, it's almost, you'd be losing money. It's just impossible right now. Unfortunately, that's just how it is. So we're not trying to say that this is affordable housing that we're doing right now, but in the future, we would love to work with government and try to afford some affordable housing. This is a letter from Ken in support of our project. We now have the video that you saw at the beginning is live on our website, liveatthepoint.com. You can go on there and see the website if anyone else is interested in seeing that video again, or anyone that's not here today would like to see it. By all means, go on. Please check out the website.
If you want any information, you can send us an email. We'd be happy to try and answer that for you.
Thank you for listening to our presentation.
Thank you.
Kristen.
Thank you, Graham, and thank you, Chad. Questions, comments? Councillor Charlton.
Thank you for the presentation. It was great. I love the drawing elements of the bills. I'm just wondering if I'm right in my assumption that you're ready to go on the 40 semi-detached units, and that's what you have water capacity for, with the hope to then access water municipally so that you can expand this project to the scope of what you've shown in the presentation. Is that correct?
Yes, ideally we would just build probably one or two until we knew the water was secured strategically around the site, but at the top half of the phase, within the phase one development. As soon as we heard on water, if we could get it or not, that's when we would continue on with the entire phase one. If we can't get water, we obviously have to spread out which builds happen as well as need to be spread out.
Thank you.
Any comments or questions?
Just like to say thanks for the presentation, and we all know that housing is important. We've had a talk from another developer in that area who's told us how important it is, and we as a county have to grow our population if we want to maintain the status quo.
Right.
Yeah, and to improve, we need to increase it a lot. So thank you very much.
Deputy Mayor Fancy?
Yes. One question I have to ask is that, like, we do have a lot of retirees, but a lot of retirees are looking for a place to rent rather than, so are the some of these could be looked at as rentals or not, or just all sales?
Well, we haven't ruled anything out. I mean, at the beginning, we'd have to sell off some just to recoup investment to keep things going.
Right.
We have definitely not ruled out renting some after we get into the development more. The other thing that we could see possibly happening is someone buying one of these as an investment and renting it themselves. There'll be no stipulations on them for buying and living in only. To buy and rent. So if an investor, say, was looking for something, they could buy one and rent it out for a long time.
But have you ever considered, too, as you're putting those units down along, that you put one unit in that has 24 houses, that in turn has a big payback, and that's got it's a lot of government subsidies and things like for that?
Yeah, we haven't found as much government subsidies that are, I guess, have teeth. There's many small subsidies out there, but nothing that really it really makes a dent in things as you go.
We have one fellow here, Earl Milk, who could probably direct you into a lot of things that would help you along with some of these things.
Yeah, we're definitely interested in hearing from him.
Other comments? Other comments? You're a quiet council.
I think we're whipped.
Big day.
It was a big day. Our staff are currently in the process of preparing, if not yet prepared, a list of all the projects that are on our books and the one that's been proposed. And I assume that yours will be placed on those books as well to look at how we could complete them, whether or not they are priorities of council. And that date has yet been set. I know it's going to be sometime within the new year. So at this point in time, that's all the information that I can provide. Though I did note you said a 66-foot buffer.
Yeah, no, it's a 20-foot buffer behind for the residents on Wolf Rock Road, and a 66-foot green space
at the very bottom of the road leading to the water.
So we have a 100-foot minimum setback?
Oh, yeah, the setback is included.
Oh, it's not, you've got your setbacks and then a buffer.
Exactly.
So you're 160.
Well, there's the units on the side are the setbacks of the 100, and then the buffer is plus the setback plus the buffer.
It was a good plan to build them up as you go.
Yeah, well, we got kind of lucky because it's a natural slope coming down as well, so it worked out quite nicely that way.
Deputy Mayor Fancy, you had another comment?
Yes, I have another question. Like you were talking about in spring is starting because, you know, you've got some water to be able to work with.
Yes.
Contractors. I mean, I just had a house built this year, and I asked my contractor if he could build my house now. It'd be 2 years out.
Yeah.
So do you have contractors in place?
We've been talking with them and lining them up over the last year. We've been working on this project for, yes, local. And I'm a contractor myself, so if we're just doing one or two, I could start it myself with my own crew, and I would get it up and running. But we have been in contact with a few different contractors and tradesmen, you know, around town, all local, to begin with. The other thing is that we have is, you know, it's one thing to build one house, but it's a pretty big carrot you dangle when you have 124 units, you know, so it's a little easier to bring people in. And when you know you're going to be in one place for 5 years,
I know one fellow was bringing in contractors from Alberta.
Yeah.
Because it is the market isn't the same out there right now, and they're willing to come forward. So
yeah.
I mean, if it has to be, so I just wanted to know if there's any stumbling blocks that would say, okay, well, I didn't realize it, but we're going to have this kind of problem.
Well, no, we definitely, like, I'm in the trades. I live and breathe it, but it's definitely an issue. You know, there's no doubt about it. It's hard finding enough people to do the work for things, and that's for sure. The thing I find that's interesting now is that for years, you know, as soon as I got done high school, you know, I worked here for a while, and then I left to find work. I went out west and worked in the construction industry. Now it's funny because all these people that left, like myself, we all have families, and we all want to bring our kids back to Nova Scotia and start our family here, raise our family here. And so I find there's quite a few people coming back now. The trend has changed where we all used to go, and now everyone's coming back. So, you know, that helps out as well.
Okay, thank you.
So, thank you for your presentation. Yes, we need housing. Yes, we have many things to offer here in Queens. Council will deliberate at a future date respecting the various projects, your requests for extension of water. We have another extension, a request for sewer and water out in your same vicinity. Those are big decisions to be made, and I wish you well and enjoy
Thank
your
you.
Life in Hunts Point. It's a great community in which to live.
It is.
Thank you.
Thank
you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Are there 4.0, are there any petitions to table? No, Hillsview Acres has been switched to later on this afternoon because it's a half hour. Tabling of petitions, public question comment session. Anyone from the public who wishes to please state your name and your civic address. I believe within the packet, this came from PA Planning Advisory Committee, and it is for the the development that's there at this point in time.
And if they put an extension, if they were extending that at any point, they'd have application.
That would be a different development agreement and building permit.
Thank you. And wish you and council and staff a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Same to you and Norma.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to make public comment? We're just going to move through the approval of the minutes quickly. What time is this? Oh, it's 12 o'clock. How about we adjourn? We're going to re-adjourn at 1 o'clock. We'll do the approval of those three sets of minutes, and then we will deal with item 7.9, sale of South Shore Regional Airport. And for those of you who are still here or here this morning, I would just like to thank you all for your respectful behavior. It was wonderful. See you all at once. Years of service. We all know the importance of recognizing years of service, especially in today's labor force. So it gives me great pleasure to honor those who have worked for us in increments of 5, 10, 15, 20. So we are going to start with the people who have been here with us for 5 years. Beth Beverly,
mm-hmm.
Sutherland. You are a worker at Killsview Acres.
Yes.
And I will admit, I do not know what capacity, so you are going to come forward and tell me.
I am working as an RCA in the nursing department.
Very good. So on behalf of the Region of Queens, I thank you for your 5 years of service, and I look forward to many, many more years of your service. Thank you. Joined us 5 years ago, and in the last 2 years, your learning of the financial affairs has probably gone from here to there. As I think you are being trained to
dynamic
some,
duo,
to
that's
some, the dynamic duo with Joanne. And it's a pleasure to have welcomed Joanne a few years ago, and it's great, Valerie, to have you on staff. I see your dedication when I meet nice and you're still here, and all that you do for us. Okay, Lucas, why not? Also, it's been with us 5 years. But anyone that knows Lucas?
Yeah.
Marie was our recording secretary at the time, and the first thing she said to me was, "We have to find him a partner because he will leave." And we didn't even have to do it. Adam found himself a great wife and great family in Queens County. And Adam, you've been director now for well over 2 years, and you've inherited a lot of things that you know is in the ground, but then you've also inherited that 120
projects, putting the bike at that point in time. And we all know that 4 years ago, when we entered into the renewal of that, the work and the time and the effort, and you are another person that works endlessly and tirelessly and takes all those calls, and everyone wants everything yesterday. Mike, thank you so much. I'm not going to say looking forward to another 25 years.
Special Council Minutes, November 28th, 2022, moved by Deputy Mayor Fancy, seconded by Councilor Kidney. All those in favor? Pass. As stated earlier, we are now going to deal with item 7.9, and then we will flip back to the Hill Street District update, and then resume that 7.9. 7.9, sale of South Shore Regional Airport.
I move that the council of the region of Queens Municipality enter into a purchase and sale agreement with Nova Scotia Drag Racers Association to convey municipal land identified as PID number 70110903 and known as the South Shore Regional Airport for the purchase price of $50,000.
Is there a second? Seconded by Councilor Gibbons. And because this was the purpose of the public hearing, this is how the motion is worded. Members of Council, your opportunity to comment. Councilor Gidden.
I just want to point out that one of the difficulties experienced with the potential sale of the airport is that the majority of the discussions with that was done in camera. And that's where the process and the information that we contain is not available to the public or to the press. And unfortunately, this has led to speculation of what was going on. I feel for future consideration, I believe that any sale, the sale of any municipal property should be open to public tender. Thank you.
Are there other comments? Councilor Brown.
I think it's unfortunate that the way this has gone, it's become a feeling of either the flying club or the drag racers that it's an either or proposition. I think both have really prospered in the past, and I think that that pitting one against the other has been to the detriment of both of them. I think we have a fiduciary responsibility to the people of Queens to look at, are we getting value for the money? And when we entered into this, when we started the process, there was only one potential buyer there. And when we looked at the amount of money that we charge them and what they bring to the community, we can sell for less than market value if we get value for the residents of an equal amount, which at that time you could make that case. But once other offers started rolling in, it doesn't really hold the same amount of water for me, because we have a chance that both can survive, both can continue to contribute the same amount that they have, or there's more money on the table and both can survive. I think that keeping this owned by the region will allow both organizations to thrive again as they have in the past. I think they both contribute a lot. I think they can contribute a lot in the future. But I think that there's a lot of potential with owning the airport. I think it's an economic driver, and I think really that we should keep this.
Councilor Brown, for your comments. Other comments? Deputy Mayor Fancy.
When we first started talking about having a public meeting, I was against it. I thought that it would be a war zone, and it would be not a good thing. But one thing I did find out from, and I have to be stand corrected on, that I heard a lot of information I didn't know. We we know know more about what the drag racers do and all what they bring to the community, but we also too know about all the other with the flying club, how many people come in. We don't even know they come in, and that all this information is good when we're sitting here at the table and not understanding all the full value of everything. We as a council are local people. We have a passion for our local groups. We want to protect them, and that's part of what we even started this process. We want to protect the flying club. We want to protect the racing car drivers. We want them both to thrive, and we do not want to lose our drag racers. We do not want to lose our flying club. We heard a lot of things today, which was good and bad, but the big word to come out is fear. Because when one person owns something, they can change the contract. They can do different things other than what they do. Because once you sell it, it's gone. It's past ours. So there's a fear. There's a fear factor that comes along with this. when our deal fell through from the German people, it was brought to our attention that we could sell less than market value. And the drag racers were approached. We look to for management, for direction. Can we do this? Can we not do it? Well, I guess legally we could, but morally it wasn't a good thing. We made a major mistake, because we should have been seeking legal advice, because there's also, too, the factor that if you do something for this price, somebody else can come back and take repercussions further on. We messed up. Simple as that. We messed up. There's no question about it. So with that being said, we want to still see things go forward. And myself personally, I think the only way that they can go forward at this particular time is to keep the ownership. But also, too, what was said here this morning, which is I thought it came from Peter Ripple and Larry Cochran, which really, really was good, is to have some kind of a managed property that could be able to utilize everything we have and be able to make it go forward in the future. And whether it be supported by the race car drivers or the flying club, that we would be able to get this all going and make it work somehow. Back 7 or 8 years ago, I remember we had a mayor say, we just should just get rid of it. It's no good. Let's get rid of it. But we, at the time, I was on part of the council, and we said, keep it. It's an asset. And it still is an asset to today. So, again, I just want to say we messed up. It wasn't us vacillating. It was a matter of we were working with the information we had. And in the future, we'll try to do better.
to first start by thanking everyone that emailed us and showed up for the public hearing today. We appreciate how much business that the Drag Racing Association brings to our community. But the friction between the two groups is upsetting, to say the least. We've been flooded with emails. We did not realize how much the airport has been utilized by many people. We did make a mistake. We did not handle this properly. And I feel we've all learned a lesson from it. My apologies go out to both groups. But the only way I see moving forward is if the municipality owns and operates this facility. So I hope the two groups can again work together. And I believe this is very important infrastructure for Queens County, and look forward to the future.
Councilor Charlton?
I too would like to thank everyone who has shown up today. I also just want to note, based off something that was said in the public hearing in regard that made it sound like the Drag Racing Association wasn't operating under our zoning bylaws. So our zoning bylaws didn't come into effect until 2009, so the Drag Racing Association is grandfathered in under those land use bylaws. There's no issue with the land use bylaws, just wanted to note that. In regard to Mr. Ripple's comment about asking why people had to initially support the sale or were supporting the sale at all, I had supported the initial sale to Lemke based on the understanding and the fact that both of the current users could be protected for future use under a change of ownership. It has been brought to our attention recently that legally the only way to protect all parties for the foreseeable future is to remain owners of this airport. Based off this information, I am no longer in favor of selling our airport to any party. I am very sorry to all of you for the upset that this has caused and the uncertainties over the last few weeks. Our drag racers are incredible members in our community, made up of volunteers, and the same is to be said for the Fly Club. These two groups should have never been put in this position. I do not believe that our drag racers have any bad intentions here, but both parties deserve security for their community groups moving forward. I believe that the only way to do that is to maintain ownership of this airport, so we can ensure that all these uses our community love and showed up to fight for today remain protected for the long haul. Thank you.
Any other member of council wish to comment?
I also like to say thank you to everybody who came to the public meeting. There's a few comments that people keep, the councils keep this stuff hidden, and that's what the public meeting's all about. We want the people to come and tell us how they feel and what's going on. I think that the way I understand the vote's going to go, but listen to the rest of the councilors, I feel that we have, the embarrassed, the racetrack riders, and the flying club. And I think, if this motion doesn't pass, I think that the region should be keeping this airport.
Councilor Hawk?
I'm in agreement with everybody here. It's so sad it had to come to this, but I think it's a good thing that we keep it.
So I'm going to turn the chair over to Deputy Mayor Fancy, because it's the only way that I can speak as mayor, so he'll have to chair the remaining of the session. Once when I was at the airport, I met Mr. Lemke, who was interested in purchasing it. Sounded like a good plan. He was going to allow racetrack to continue for a couple of years. Who knows, maybe we were going to take his money and give it off to motor car, many, many things that might have happened, and they didn't happen. So the decision came, well, what do we do with it? It was a real eye-opener to listen to all those in the aviation industry and to read the countless emails from those in the aviation aviation industry who use the South Shore Airport for basically zero. And that's always been a concern of mine. There was discussion about why don't we have a management. The South Shore Fly Club remember that we had management at that airport for decades. And taxpayers were paying through the nose for the management. We hired a consultant and did a study. We hired someone else to run the airport. All on promises that exactly what I heard this morning would happen. There would be expanded uses, there would be hangars, there would be all those things. And I look at that 50-year-old piece of pavement and I wonder when it's going to need to be repaved. And I was sent information from the town of Woodstock, whose municipality has ensured that they'll maintain the runway, the lights, all the maintenance of the airport. And that is one expensive endeavor, the 50-year-old piece of pavement. I understand the value of aviation, and it's kind of ironic because years ago when I was a counselor, I fought to keep the airport. It is 50 years of pavement, and I look and I see where the economic value that I see today is coming from. And I look and I see the group who does not ask us for money and who puts a significant amount of money into that property and pays us significant leasehold improvements. Yes, I understand the value of aviation. And I also, like Councillor Muse, I have a great sense of where this vote is going. My only hope is that when, at some date, when council decides what to deal with this airport, be it a management committee made up of users, I definitely would never support selling it to a highest bidder. But we must think about the long-term usage, and if we're going to keep both users together, then there needs to be a way for the South Shore Fly Club to find a way to get revenue from all those people that claim the importance of the airport. We heard from dozens today about how they use it, when they use it, why they use it. I do not believe South Shore Fly Club, a nonprofit organization, receives any financial benefit from them, which if we continue ownership, we need to find a way that they do. Just as the Nova Scotia Drag Racers Association can find a way to make financial benefit for their group and to expand their lease improvements and what is needed for them. Municipalities do not have to own these things. But I also believe that we are a good community. And despite the hardship that council has caused, if we were the parent and the two groups were our children, then I was raised in a family that forgives and forgets and does not harbor grudges. So I believe that we can easily heal and that the two groups can go back to a working relationship. But having said that, I am going to vote to sell this to the Nova Scotia Drag Racers Association, basically on the fact that I look at the economic worth that this group has brought. And I know that probably my vote will be lost. However, the two groups together must show how they can contribute. Because as owning a airport, I see as a liability to our taxpayers.
Okay. Is there anybody else who has any comments on this recommendation? Oh, David?
I think we look at this as purely a profit and loss statement. I think that's probably the wrong way to look at it. We don't have to make a financial profit on everything we do. We own infrastructure that doesn't make us any money. But when we look at what the benefit to the community is, we can lose money on something. We don't make money on parks. We don't make money on our rink. We don't make money on the Astor Theater. We don't make money on our business center. But they contribute to the community overall. And I think when we look at this, it's not just the drag racers. It's not just the flying club. There's the radio-controlled planes. There's people that I see that come in and use it as a park to watch sunsets because it's got a beautiful exposure. It's a facility that if it was a park and nobody was using it at all, we wouldn't blink an eye twice at having it mowed every week. We wouldn't, you know, worry about having the roads plowed. But now we have users and we don't want to supplement them. We supplement users all across this province, all across this county, sorry. And I think that this brings a lot of economic benefit through the two groups. And they've all said in the past that they've contributed a lot to the community, and they contributed it under our ownership and thrived well. And I think they can continue to do that. I think if they work together, if we can let them get back together, they can continue to contribute. And I think we need to let them.
Okay, is there any more comments on this recommendation? Hearing none, I guess we'll call for the questions. Does everybody understand what the recommendation is? Is this the sale of the airport to the drag racers? All in favor? Contrary minded? So 5-3, it's defeated.
And I thank you. So the next step forward, and for your information, because that was being sold at below market price, it needed a 3/4, 2/3 majority, which meant it would